Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. The last several days, we've been looking at mountains, the importance of mountains, not just in our physical realm, but also, more importantly, in the spiritual realm. We've been looking at the function of mountains in Scripture, that, first of all, they're a place of security, defense, or safety. They are scenes of great events, such as the Ark landing on Mount Ararat, Mount Sinai, where the law was given, Mount Olivet, which was a place of Christ's ascension. And thirdly, mountains were selected for places of divine worship. God specifically spoke to Moses in Exodus, the third chapter, and he said, "There shall be a token to thee that I've sent you. When you've brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And then in Isaiah, the second chapter, verse 2, the word tells us, "It shall come to pass." This is a beautiful prophetic word for what's going to occur in the last days. Let me read it again in its entirety. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, above all the other mountains," amen, "and shall be exalted above the hills, and many nations shall flow unto it. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in Mount Zion, the city of our God, the city of the great King," amen. This is going to be our spiritual center and home. And of course, we know that Jesus went many times into the mountains alone to pray. We also see in terms of false cults and religions that mountains were important. They understood the spiritual significance. As a result, there were many places of sacrifice, demonic sacrifices and worship of false gods. And we see in Scripture that mountains not only were, you know, important for a place of worship, but they were significant spiritually, because they represent a place in the Spirit near the very presence of God. Psalm 87 and verse 1 says, "His foundation is in the holy mountains." And then there is a marvelous passage in Isaiah, but I think I'll wait to read that. Just as mountains are a source in the physical world for streams and rivers, so in the spiritual realm, there are living waters that will flow. Let me turn right now to Isaiah 40, and there's some magnificent passages. Just one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture is Isaiah 40. And there, the Lord is saying, comfort ye, my people, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. And the word goes on, verse 5, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." And in verse 9, listen to this, "O Zion," that's us folks, "that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, and say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." Hallelujah. So we are to get up into the high mountains, into that place close to the presence of God. That doesn't mean we physically have to climb mountains or to go there to be experience the presence of God. We can do that wherever we are, but it represents a place in the Spirit where our eyes are turned away from the things of this natural realm, from the things of the senses, from the things of the carnal life, the natural life, and look and behold our eyes, let our eyes behold the King in His beauty, in the secret place, in the realm of the spirit. This is where God is calling us when he talks about the high places, praise God. And also in Amos, the 9th chapter, verse 13, it talks about mountains, that they shall drop sweet wine. And that's a reference to spiritual abundance. I don't know about you, but doesn't that sound good? And then, of course, mountains are illustrative of the church of the living God. Let me share an interesting passage in Daniel, the 2nd chapter, verse 35. And this is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar's vision that Daniel interpreted. And remember, it was a great image whose head was of gold that referred to his kingdom. And then there was a breast of and arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet partly of iron, partly of clay. And verse 35 says, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. Do you have an image of that, or just a wind and whoof, everything's gone? And the stone, because there was a stone that smote the image, I wonder who that could be. The stone, the rock of our salvation, our foundation stone, the cornerstone. Anyway, that stone that hit the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And then, of course, Daniel goes on to give the interpretation of the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. And then in verses 44 and 45, he's a little more clear. He said, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven, hallelujah, that's when Jesus comes back, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Amen. Those are words of truth, yet to be fulfilled, but indeed it shall happen. The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that stone cut without hands became a great mountain, beloved, and filled the whole earth. Praise God. Now, mountains, to go on, so they're spiritually significant. And that's how that's the spiritual aspect of them, which it's good to contemplate and to know that mountains are very special in the heart of God. I think perhaps that's one of the reasons, maybe that's your feeling as well. I love the high mountains. There's beauty in everywhere in God's creation. The whole earth is full of his glory, his beauty, his infinite divine imagination that made everything so beautiful and so different and distinct. And so we can just marvel as we behold the beauties, the natural man. Now, Romans talked about that, right? All they have to do is look around and see that this just didn't happen by accident or through evolution. Amen. But in terms of our practical lives, and of course, I'm now speaking to Christians. Perhaps I'm sure most of you are Christians. And if you're not, then Jesus has made a way for you to become part of his family. And that's simply by believing in him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hear by hearing by the word of God. But mountains, for those of you who have walked with the Lord, even for a short time, understand that scripture also uses mountains to illustrate the reality of difficulties in our lives. I love the beauty, again, going back to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. What does it say in verse 4? It says, well, no, let me just go back. I just love this. It's so beautiful, the poetry of the King James. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, here we go. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, or the rough you know, the crooked places shall be made straight, rough places shall be made smoothed out, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And so the valleys shall be brought up, and the mountains and hills shall be made low. So whether you're in a valley place right now, or feel like there's a mountain dead center right before your face, and you don't know what you're going to do because you can't get around it, you feel you can't go over it, well, God will make a way through it somehow. I don't know, but he promises, and he will hear the word of the Lord. And then, of course, Jesus himself said in Matthew 17, verse 20, these are his words. He's telling us today, brother and sister, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. He was speaking here of the absolute importance of our faith and in prayer and our declaration and confession that we can say to whatever thing is hindering or impeding our spiritual progress forward, we can say, mountain, be removed in the name of Jesus, and it shall, I'm quoting Jesus, remove hence to yonder place. Praise God. And nothing shall be impossible to you. Praise God. Well, we're going to be looking at some more passages out of Isaiah tomorrow, as this, my time is gone, and we're going to be looking at some further examples of difficulties, and how God, more importantly, are going to make obstacles in our lives serve his purposes. I thank you so much for joining me. I love you. I pray for you every day. And if you're going through a valley time, or there's mountains that are surrounding you and you don't see any way forward, I invite you to write, share your prayer needs. God will make a way. He will make a way for you. I'm thinking of that old song, have you got any rivers that seem uncrossable? Any mountains that you can't tunnel through? Well, God specializes in things called impossible. He can do what no other power can do. Amen. His name is Jesus. I love you. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you so much for joining me. Hope to see you tomorrow at the same time or on our website. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,